Discussion with Ajahn Suchin in Bangkok, July 2022. Recorded by the Foundation, edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Robert, Suchin, Roxanne, and Betty.
About Patisandhi Chitta. That's the same as Bhavanga Chitta, the same type.
It's Vipaka, right? But it has roots as well. But usually Vipaka doesn't
Not always, when it's born as animal, yes. No root.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's the difference between different Patisandhi Chitta.
Okay.
I'm trying to use Pali for him.
Yes. It's Vipaka Chitta as well, isn't it?
We have to understand what is meant by Vipaka Chitta.
Yes.
First of all, we have to understand that there are many different chittas. How can there be the understanding of each one by different ways, mm-hmm. by aspect? One way is that chitta is conditioned to arise to be the cause, kusala or akusala. As it is a cause, it can produce result. So we have to understand chitta right now, what kind it is, the resultant or the cause. That's why the cause is kusala or akusala, two chatis, two kinds, and it condition or produce the vipaka. So there must be kusala vipaka, the result of kusala, and akusala vipaka, the result of akusala. And another is kriya. Kusala, akusala, vipaka, and kriya, four kinds of chati.
Mm-hmm. But usually vipaka chitta, we think of it's rootless because it's...
No, we don't talk by way of root.
Yeah.
That's why we have to talk by way of birth as it yes. is, kusala, akusala, or vipaka, or kriya. Not talking about root yet.
Okay.
And when we talk about roots, we have to understand how many roots and what are there to understand. Whether it is citta or whether it is cetasikas.
Okay.
When there's, say, seeing consciousness, that's vipaka.
Right now.
Right now. That is rootless, correct?
No.
Ah.
Ahetuka citta. Citta without roots.
Yes.
There are 18 types of
citta okay.
without roots. And vipaka is seeing, hearing, 10. One is kusala vipaka and other is akusala vipaka. So there are two kinds of seeing. One is the result of akusala,
yes.
akusala vipaka, and the other is the kusala vipaka. They do not have roots.
Yes, they do not have roots, exactly.
Ahetuka, 80 types of
yes.
citta are ahetuka, without roots.
Yes.
10, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, 10.
Are rootless.
Without root. Ahetuka. Because
yes.
Is not.
Yes, yes.
Ahetuka. No roots.
But the Patisandhi Chitta is also vipaka, but sometimes it has roots.
Depending on conditions.
Yeah. It's,
that's why people are different.
Yes.
Any beings are different mm-hmm. by way of being mm-hmm. human being or animal.
Yeah. But
so
by.
Determines that the vipaka will be with root or not?
The root itself. Without root as condition. See? That's why we have to understand that at any moment of kusala or akusala. Akusala vipaka does not have root at moment of seeing. And usually, since it is very common to be akusala, no need at all for result.
So sorry, what?
Why no need? Exactly.
Okay, we have to begin from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
That is the reality which experiences the object right now.
Mm-hmm.
It is that which experiences, chief of experiencing. Is
the chitta,
the
yes.
chief. And cetasikas arising together.
Yes.
And cetasika cannot perform the function of citta.
Mm-hmm.
It cannot be the chief of experiencing, mm-hmm. but it has its own characteristic, like or dislike. Akusala and akusala are cetasika. And when it accompanies citta, citta has that as conditions for its arising. So there is kusala citta by way of having a kusala cittasika arising with it.
Yes.
And it is kusala when there are kusala cittasikas arising with it.
And
since they are hetu, they can produce results.
Yes.
Two kinds, ahetuka or sahetuka. Since as it is root, it has to condition result anyway. But all depends on, for example, how many akusala vipaka. See, less than kusala vipaka.
Why?
See? Because when it's akusala, it can produce just that much. Only that level.
Okay.
Without right understanding, without sati, and without anything. So as much as it can condition vipaka, how many vipakas are akusala vipaka? That's why we have to learn that they are all now, but no understanding about what is there, as no one and no self by conditions only. So any level of akusala kamma, no matter it's not so strong, no matter what it can produce itself, is only 7 ahetuka vipaka.
Okay. But they can be quite serious. The vipaka can still be quite strong.
So much, like in hell.
Yes, exactly. See?
But, okay.
No, but Achan, even kusala conditions vipaka that are rootless. So, in that case, what's the explanation? You're saying that the akusala conditions only rootless vipaka because it's weak compared to kusala, less chetasikas. And when it's the case of kusala vipaka,
more chetasikas. What about panya? What about sati? What about other wholesome chetasikas?
Yes, but that can also condition seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, which are rootless. Mm-hmm.
And more.
And more.
See?
So so sometimes kusala can condition root with root and without roots. Vipaka with
That's
roots and without roots.
That's why the kusala kamma produce more chittas. Because it's strong enough to condition the kusala vipaka. Like sati has to arise with kusala vipaka too. What condition sati, moment of kusala, it can produce the result as wholesome cittasika can arise with vipaka. But when it's not wholesome citta, it doesn't have cittasika strong enough to condition more vipaka.
Can you repeat that again? It can produce wholesome citta with vipaka.
So we'll talk about akusala citta
first.
Akusala citta have less cetasikas accompanied. And it even, no matter how much in a day it's there arising, it cannot become wholesome at all by nature. That's why in a day there are moments of akusala citta, and when it's wrong, it is akusala kamma. But still, cetasika, just ordinary, not right understanding, not sati, not sata,
not so
anything
many
at all.
Chitta seekers with it. But still, it can be very strong, the intense, like you said.
No, only 12 akusala chitta produce only 7 akusala vipaka for you. Not more than that at all.
And Robert, what do you mean by strong? Do you mean like when it's strong enough to become condition killing?
No, I mean, like if it was very strong akusala karma, it can also produce limited akusala vipaka, but that limited akusala vipaka, as Ajahn said, could still be in hell or something, or animal or something, so it still has its strong result, even though the number of citta seekers is quite limited. Which I thought it was good news when Ajahn said only a small amount of akusala, but actually that akusala can still be so intense. That vipaka.
Because the wholesome chetasikas are not easy to arise at all. Even right now, see? So when it's there, it can produce more vipaka,
mm-hmm.
accompanied by sati and panya and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So otherwise, how can there be condition for understanding, panya, and sati, awareness to arise?
Mm-hmm.
To understand this, which is now appearing, and this is only one in samsara, once in samsara, seeing right now, only once in samsara, mm-hmm. just arise and fall away, never to return at all. And this is the absolute truth. So the point of studying the truth is to listen to the word of truth, to understand correctly whether it's right understanding or wrong understanding of what is heard. That's all. Not try to have nibbana, to experience or anything at all. It's impossible. That's why the teachings of the Buddha are so very, very subtle. After his enlightenment, he said by himself, all dhammas are so very subtle, but it can be known, so he taught. That's why the purpose of listening is to understand what is that in life as it is. Not try to reach that, to attain this, and to have less akusala without any understanding. It's impossible. That's why it's so natural. Like people in the Buddha's time, they went to see the Buddha, listened to the teachings, and then life goes on, went on as usual by conditions. Otherwise, it cannot be a moment of understanding the very subtle lova. So very subtle, that's why it is the second noble truth.
Well, most people tend to think, though, most Buddhists would think, The
subtle lobha, don't worry about that. Understand the intense lobha that's so common anyway, and it's more important to try and suppress that major lobha rather than worry about the subtle.
And that's why they thought.
Yeah.
Not that, right.
No, because even at subtle lobha, it's not understanding. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going the right way. So right. It's still not.
It cannot
help.
Be eradicated.
Yeah.
Without understanding, all what's there is. No self and no one. No doubt about anything in life, even right now.
And at that moment, such thinking is conditioned in part by lopa, sometimes subtle, sometimes not so subtle.
Now, it's there, unknown, see? And can anyone know? Only the gross one, not the subtle one. See, I want to drink, see? Only that is gross enough to know that yes. There is attachment or wanting.
Sure.
Yeah. And what about the very subtle level?
Like, I will not drink because
I will suppress that desire.
Yeah. Sometimes people think that they understand a lot, but not understanding what is there now. So can that be understanding? It's so true right now, but it's not known, so subtle. That's why each life, the most precious moment is understanding what is there, little by little. And you condition the parami, viriya parami, viriya, see, you know that,
yeah.
Pali. And kanti parami.
Kanti is patience.
Right? Yes, to endure, yeah. Not to get about the truth and so on. So very much subtle as they are, all dhammas, very subtle dhammas. That's why we become to understand what's meant by enlightenment, see? Not just think about, but it's there now. And the truth of each word of the Buddha came from his enlightenment. But it's so far away from understanding of those who just listen carelessly.
What you were saying about it's only one moment, you know, one moment of seeing in samsara and then it's a new moment.
Mm-hmm.
So the past moment, like 1 minute ago, there's nothing left of the past moment. No rupa, no nama, no universe. It's all gone completely, right?
That is thinking again.
Yeah, but it's true though, right?
That's why we have to consider just one word, one moment,
yes,
to understand better and better about the meaning of it.
When I heard just now when Achan said one moment, what I was thinking was one moment, another moment gone without knowing.
It's a little clear about vipaka.
Yes, it's still. I still wonder a little bit about. I mean, that must be true. I just wonder. I had the idea.
Sorry, for a second. I always had the idea. Just, you know, vipaka is always ahituka, but except I realized recently that for something like patisandhi citta, mm-hmm, it can be with roots. Hituka.
Yeah. Yeah. When it is the akusala vipaka, there's no.
Yes.
Kusala tirasika.
But in, when seeing, which is the result of kusala karma, it's also ahituka.
Because dogs see, yes, cats see,
yes, yes,
so
I
it
see.
Just only the result that it has to be,
yeah,
from,
yeah,
that, yeah, karma.
Yeah. No, I just hadn't thought about it much, and then I was thinking about it. And, mm-hmm, you know,
when we
something,
think,
yeah,
a lot about everything, it's so deep and clear, yeah,
yes,
little by,
yes,
little.
Yes, yes.
Not only number.
Yes.
I just discovered just now when you said dogs see, cats see, because the same thing I asked before, that first you explained that the result of akusala can only be rootless because of the cetasikas involved, and in the case of kusala, more cetasikas involved, and hence I came with the question, so kusala has root conditions rootless vipaka chittas also, and so I wondered what decides when the result will be rootless, when it will be with roots. But then you said dogs see, of course they must be seeing, they must be hearing,
they
must be,
so
they must be, therefore if they must be seeing, they must become other conditions, seeing, hearing, smelling, kusala and akusala. So that's how it works.
Yeah.
There must be seeing, there must be hearing.
Yeah. That's becoming much clearer, thank you.
No difference.
Yes.
See, between seeing, dog and cat, yes, are human beings, yeah, see, wise of full, yeah.
So going back to what we were saying, my sort of question, comment on the past has completely gone forever. Is it,
what do you mean, the past?
The past.
The past.
The past moment is 1 minute, 1 second ago. There's,
yes,
nothing
one
left.
One reality.
It's, but I mean, it's disappeared completely, because I was actually talking with my son, Ryan. He's really interested in Dharma, mm-hmm, now. He's always asking me questions. And we were watching Terminator. The Terminator movie talks about future and so on. And he said, can there really be time travel? And I said, no, there's only the present moment. There's no past at all. So there can't, you know, it's gone 100%. It could never be something like time travel. He could sort of understand that. And I said, but it doesn't matter. We can still enjoy the movie and imagine. But the past has gone forever. Yeah, there can't be. Do you know about the Terminator, Arjun? It's a time travel movie. Alien.
Harry Potter.
Oh, good.
Anyway, the Terminator, the robots from the future come back into our time. So it's completely impossible. But it's still a great movie.
And so connecting to that, why do we remember concepts?
Okay. Is there memory?
Question.
Well, I mean, the moment, everything goes through the mind door, right? The mind, sorry, mind door. So I don't know, that's what I'm thinking.
That's why we don't understand what we are talking about, even just one word. Mm. What is mind? What is the mind? See, we have to talk about what we are saying to understand the truth of it. If we use the word, if we use the word mind, what is it? And this is beginning to pay respect to the great wisdom of the Buddha. Not just the word, but the truth. As it now true, seeing it's true, what is it? See, no thought about it, no idea at all. But in truth, how come? By me, by anyone, or by what? Beginning to understand and be truthful to the truth as parami, satya parami. Without satya parami, there can never be the understanding of what is there now as it is. That's why we don't think about the ideas before we thought about the world and so on. But what is it now? If it cannot be object of understanding, what can be? We talk about even just the word understanding. Understand what? Otherwise, how can we say that it is understanding? So it has to be different from ignorance. Because is there ignorance? Yes, it is right now. Not understanding of what is there as it is. So can it be right understanding? Because it's there now. Seeing, hearing, thinking. So just begin to understand what is meant by each word, which is so very, very true, absolute, ultimate truth. Nobody can change the way it is. Each word to be considered to understand the truth. Because this moment is so true, if there is no understanding of this moment, how can there be the understanding of any truth? That's why the beginning to understand how great wisdom of the enlightened one, what does it mean? Understanding whatever is there thoroughly, deeply, as absolute truth. So now, what's the mind? We can talk about any word.
Well, let's talk about memory and sanya.
Yeah, it's now.
Right. So, sanya, they say it marks the object.
It's a reality.
It's a reality that has the function of, what can we say, remembering? Is
yes,
that possible?
Anything, yeah. Anything. Any word, well, the most important well, is that an accurate description?
It marks and it remembers?
Yeah, I think remember also works because it marks means it marks, not just mark and forget.
Yes.
Remember.
Yes, right. Yes. It doesn't just mark and forget. Yeah, yeah.
And why does sanya mark?
Well, that's its nature. That's just what it does.
Why the fire is hot?
Yeah, yeah, right.
Okay, so that's the nature of
sanya. Yeah, that's just what it does, its function.
Okay.
It can't not do that.
Okay.
You know, it just has to.
Yeah. That's why it is Dhamma, this word. Whatever is real, no matter we use any term, nobody can change it at all. The truth of whatever is there, whatever is real, is Dhamma, just one word, anything. The truth. Real, a reality.
So, understanding Dhamma is understanding each reality, considering in terms of characteristic, function, conditions, everything. That is understanding Dhamma.
The truth of whatever is there as a reality. Once in samsara, only.
your approach, Ajahn, maybe I could say, or is if I could summarize a little bit, we need the theory like we're talking about now, but it's also the theories applying exactly to what is
happening right now. It's like the theory and the practice are exactly the same for you in some
so
ways.
So what do you mean by theory?
The theory, the Dharma, what the Buddha taught.
It's not theory.
No. But it's theory in the sense that we can read it in a book, for example.
No.
But it's applying.
Even we don't read
it. That's it. I was just going to say, let's first determine what is meant by theory.
Okay.
Not a theory.
Theory in the sense only by the mean. I mean pariyatti. How do we translate pariyatti then?
Pariyatti is just a level of understanding that is not direct understanding, based on hearing about what's real.
Yeah.
So
that's what I would say in English. We would say that's theory.
Theory is one's own thought.
Theory, yeah. When you use the word theory, right? There's a theory, science, scientific theories, and all that.
That's a different meaning from what I mean. Theory has a few.
But is there a meaning that is same as pariyatti? Is there a meaning of theory that is same as pariyatti?
Yeah, I see what you mean. Theory sometimes has a negative connotation that it's just someone's idea, as Ajahn said. Maybe there's not an exact English word for what I'm trying to, what we mean.
That's why we use intellectual understanding.
Better than theory. Yeah, I meant intellectual understanding.
And we have to understand what are there in life.
Yes.
So many theory.
Yes, no.
But what is it? There are only 6 doorways to experience an object, 1 doorway at a time. In life, no matter where, from birth on and on, up to now on death, only 6 doorways only in the world. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking. Mm-hmm. So we know what's meant by theory. It's only the object of thinking.
Yeah. So maybe intellectual understanding is better than theory as a word. Yeah.
I mean, incidentally, just now, the taxi I came in, I saw that he was an aged man. He was 73, and I talked to him a little. I mean, you've been driving a taxi all these years? He said, no, I've been driving trucks and everything. And then, before we reached, I asked him, do you listen to Dhamma? He said, I'm Tamatti, means I'm bachelor's in Dhamma study.
Mm.
Yeah. I asked him what that means. He said, yeah. Oh, so it's like you study in a college and all that. He said, yeah. Then I said, but is that how the Dhamma is meant to be understood? Is that how it's meant to be taught? You like go and study a course or something? So we started talking a little bit, and as much as I could before we reached, told him that about what I study. I'm coming here. That Dhamma is actually not meant to be in the books you remember, you read, and you remember. And but it's to be understood as it applies now. I mean, I told him in whatever words I could, and that's the difference. He was studying theory, right? He was studying Dhamma as a theory. And because at one point he said, oh, so what you're saying is you mean Dhamma has to be practical. I said, even the word practical has to be understood first, what it is, right? So when we reached, I gave him a few books, and hopefully he listened. But that's the difference. That's theory. That's
Yes. People come up with all sorts of theories about Dhamma too, and go wrong, but... Anyway, I was referring to correct intellectual understanding and your approach, Ajahn, which I really appreciate, is that the correct intellectual understanding is applying right now to the moment.
And it's so pretty subtle too.
Yes.
And applying right now in the moment, what does that mean?
That means that it's real right now. If we're talking about sanya, we're talking about the intellectual understanding of sanya. In a way, just talking about it is just talking about it. But also, sanya is arising right now, right?
I like Roxanne's question, apply. What do you mean by apply? I mean, that seems to still separate an idea that there's a theory to be applied, right? So it's just a matter of understanding arising at which level.
See, so subtle. So subtle to understand even just priyati.
So in a sense, I mean, it's panya chittasika at one level. We could call it intellectual understanding that's has that level. At another level, it's a deeper level of panya that sees clearer again. And there's just panya all the way through.
To the end.
To the end. It's just panya chittasika that's...
That's the path. Otherwise it's not.
So the path doesn't change into something else. It's not first there's this and then it changes to something else. It's just panya developing, really.
And all the way through...
With the paramis.
With the paramis as well,
Without panya, it's not parami. Yes. Without parami, how can there be the realization of the truth? Right now, anything, anytime, a moment, see?
So, sometimes people think, or even I wonder, if panya is not there, what about going out and trying to develop the parami, for example, like giving and restraint and patience and metta and developing a lot of these good qualities, maybe, without panya, and that might, one day that might help panya to arise, but I think that's a little bit of a distorted...
no understanding.
No understanding, yeah.
Recently, I was listening to Achan's talk about detachment, and I think I've heard, and you correct me if it's not correct. Somewhere, the Dhamma has been, the path has been described as the path of detachment from the beginning to end, and. I begin to understand a little bit that what it is, actually, it is all about attachment. You can say it's panya, it's all about panya, but also at the same time, it's all about the path of detachment from beginning to end.
So, to be truthful, what condition one to listen to the truth of this moment? See?
Okay, just going on a slight sidetrack to both of those comments. I can come here with a lot of lopa to listen to you. I want to get something. I want to develop myself or whatever. That can be a lot of lopa that conditions me to come here. But then by coming here and I hear Ajahn talking, there might be kusala citta or understanding arise, so that in a sense, the lopa can be conditioned for right view, one of the conditions for right understanding to arise. In a sense, it's even though it's not direct, but it's still an ancillary condition.
I mean, even an arahata listens, an anagami listens, and a sakadagami listens, a sotapanna listens. So the motivation to listen is understanding. But that you and I will have lots of attachment in between. It's because there's still attachment. We still have all the kilesas. So it is more like the attachment will arise. It's expected to arise because there are conditions. But I don't think it's a matter of the lopa being a condition for this thing. But that it will arise. It does arise. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
So there is chanda, interest.
Yes.
See, that lead you to listen or considering the truth, not just lopa.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. There's also kusala there too. Mm-hmm. I mean, just also I've been thinking about this. Most of the day I don't listen to Dharma because sometimes I'll think, oh, I better listen to a bit more Dharma. I'll read a book and I start reading some Abhidharma and then... I think, yeah, that's somehow the interest isn't quite strong enough, so I'll turn on Netflix, for example, because Netflix has more.
So there can be the understanding of what has been accumulated. When there is panya.
Yes. I mean, that's why the first thing to eradicate is wrong view of self.
Yeah.
It's not attachment to sense objects.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's not listening to the truth. Mm-hmm. But there's some interest.
Yes.
And it's very hard or difficult to separate the lopa from the chanda.
Right, right.
Only panya can.
Because lopa and chanda arise together, and also panya and chanda arise together. So,
But when it is chanda with panya, it's wholesome.
Yes.
But when it's chanda with lopa, it's unwholesome.
Sure.
And learning to understand the absolute truth, panya begins to know how little right understanding of what is there now is in truth. So true, what is there, gone instantly, as soon as it has risen. So just live to understand Dhamma by conditions too.
Mm-hmm.
All depends on conditions. But listen more, understanding more, can be parami, patience,
mm-hmm.
to understand the truth, the absolute truth of the reality, not just by only word. Because everyone takes the term panya and say about panya, but panya understand what? What does it understand, panya? See? If it about the technical terms and so on, is that panya? What kind of reality?
Depends, yeah. I mean, well, anyone could study some difficult Pali and Abhidharma without panya, for sure.
They don't understand the meaning, the truth of the word.
On the other hand, someone could study with panya exactly the same passages.
No, but, I think what Achan is saying is that thinking about the word, the meaning of the word, is different from understanding what is real now. It's two different things. So even thinking is thinking. Meaning of the word is not understanding. You can understanding the meaning is something else, but thinking and trying to work out the meaning is different.
Well, it could be useful. Yes. It might not be.
But even for example, like Sariputta, when he heard those words, he had to think about the words. But understanding, it was the understanding of what appears now that was the panya, knowing the reality, that was the function of panya.
Nevertheless, the thinking is still one of the conditions. He would have to think about
it,
right?
Oh, yes, the chetasikas, you mean to say. The chetasika that arises with the moment of thinking, of understanding, has to be there. There must be that chetasika vitaka. It's a factor of the
part.
But thinking about meaning is different from moment of understanding.
I would say they could arise together, right? There could be a lot of thinking with panya, or there might be a lot of thinking without any panya. Ajahn, do you want to
come? Either one.
Either one, yeah.
Because you see that those who study Pali, they can translate. They know what condition or what is that, but they don't know the truth that it's there now.
What I was trying to distinguish is when I'm thinking about the word Dhamma, that is different from understanding Dhamma.
Yes, but it's the beginning to understand what Dhamma is.
If there wasn't thinking about it at all, thinking about it can be consideration.
But if there's no understanding of what Dhamma is, then that word is just a word.
But
Dhamma is just another word.
But can't the thinking be wise consideration, thinking it over and coming to more and more understanding about it? I mean, vitaka, like you were saying, is one of the...
Okay, yeah. Anyone who hear the word Dhamma, how much understanding of that? Just the word, everything which is there, real, it's a Dhamma. They just take the word, but they don't consider is it now, which is there as Dhamma, and that is not enough. What kind of Dhamma is that? Just the name Dhamma is not enough. But understand, just Dhamma is whatever is real, a reality. They take that word. Many people study Abhidhamma by that way. Just take the word and know how many cittas and cittasikas, only how many, but not a citta.
And don't see it now, don't realize that it's happening right now.
That's why even learning about Abhidhamma or Sutta or Vinaya or Abhidhamma, without understanding, it just takes the word, only that, and recite and understand the meaning, but not the truth. For example, one hears about the citta and cittasikas. What are the difference between the two? They experience object. They arise together. They fall away together. So, what can there be the difference between the two?
Actually, that's one of my questions, actually, on citta.
Otherwise, there cannot be citta nupassana satipatthana alone. Because when we heard the word, citta is the chief of experiencing an object. See, there must be the object now, experienced by citta. But how to understand citta as not like or dislike or any other mental factors or nama? It is the chief of experiencing the object, even they arise with other cittasika. So what is meant by the chief? There must be other cittasika arising together. But who can experience only the characteristic of that object clearly? Clearly now doesn't mean right understanding, but it experiences clearly the difference between this and this, same color or something like that. The fake diamond and the diamond, see?
So, Chan, you're saying?
It is because of citta we know the difference between a fake diamond and real diamond. The cetasikas cannot know this.
Cetasika experiences the same thing and it performs its function because of the reality of it is to like or to attach or to be ignorant, not understanding, no matter what is heard.
Well, sanya is also their marking as well. That also knows something about the fake diamond and real diamond too.
What it does is just mark. It does not know the way the citta knows.
Not as citta, not as the chief, but it experiences the same object and performs its function just like it instantly or marks it instantly.
In citta nupassana, there's citta with lopa, citta without lopa, but why mention that when it's just citta? Why mention about lopa and citta seekers?
Without understanding, it cannot be told what is what because they experience the same object. So it has to be understanding the characteristic and the function of citta right now. It sees. We don't talk about mindfulness or we don't talk about manasikara or any cetasika, pasa and so on. Just it sees now. Get closer and closer, no thing at all around, only that which sees the function of citta. And it experiences the object.
Why are you mentioning citta that sees, like vijnana, jaku vijnana, you mean, right? Why not another?
If we don't think about the word jaku vijnana, we can use any word in any language to know what is there now, seeing.
But why seeing? Why not another reality? Why focus on that?
Because citta is the chief of experiencing that object.
For sure, yes.
And when there is attachment or like, no understanding of that which is the chief of experiencing.
You mean when there's wanting and or disliking?
Just clinging instantly.
Yeah, but when there's seeing, it's just the citta without the liking and disliking. So mm-hmm. As an object, it's a bit clearer in a sense.
That's why when citta arises with attachment, and at that moment, no understanding of attachment as a reality. But usually, I like this. Never mind about that which experiences the chief of experiencing it all. Just take the object instantly. That's why, without understanding clearly the difference between citta and cittasikas, no more understanding of anything as it is. Because even that is not known. This is a subtlety of each word. Do you like this? See? Never mind about the experiencing. It's there to be object of like. Instantly, even right now, any time, ignore that nature with just experience. Just experience. So the object now appears because of citta experiencing it. And sometimes there is moment of knowing that I like it. But before that, there must be asava.
Right. Now, just to clarify, to repeat. So when there's lopa, that's kind of obvious. We're always having this attachment or disliking something. But we're at those moments, we're completely unaware of citta as experiencer, mm-hmm. as the chief in experiencing. Yeah. But at the moment of seeing or hearing, a little
any
bit,
moment.
It can become a little bit clearer, the nature of citta as the experience.
All depends on condition. Yes. What would be object of awareness and understanding?
Yes.
So, Robert,
instead of pointing out at lopa, wouldn't you ask, why not talk about thinking? Because we can talk about citta different from seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking also. So why
good
not
point.
Thinking?
Yeah, great. Sukhanda. Yes, very good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Achan, the question is, you keep talking about seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and mostly seeing. Is there a special reason why you don't seem to ever talk about thinking, understanding thinking?
At this moment, seeing, never lost. All the time. And thinking change about this and that. Where seeing sees.
Sometimes it seems to me, though, that thinking, when we're thinking, it's there can be more detachment, in a sense, from thinking and seeing. It's just thinking just thinks. Like, it's kind of a little bit obvious that it's not self, because thinking just seems to think, so...
But still self thinks.
maybe that's the sort of
normal. I guess it is, yeah, but it's often appeared to me that thinking, I can sort of see in a rough way that it's just the thinking's just thinking without a self, but that's
maybe,
just...
We need to keep listening.
Only way, the yes. only way, and understanding what is heard more and more and more. Otherwise, no conditions to think about it. Because it's conditioned to think about other things, away from what is there now. All the time. Just attend to that which is seen and heard and thought all the time. No understanding of citta. That's why there must be understanding of each reality. Citta is there. See, hear, think. But attachment and other realities are there too, depending on what is the object at that very moment for sati. Daily life, even right now, if it's not known clearly, impossible to enlighten the Four Noble Truths.
Is this maybe... an example of what pariyati, one meaning of pariyati in Thai is ropru, means thorough understanding at the intellectual level. So, for example, when you talk about seeing, if there is pariyati understanding, means enough it's not necessary that there is understanding of seeing. It can be any Dhamma at that time, even when we're talking about seeing, because there's...
If it's not Dhamma, what is it?
Not necessary seeing itself. It can be any other Dhamma. Because mm-hmm. just now, Robert was asking about knowing Lopa and all that. So if there's enough understanding, even when we're hearing about seeing, there can be understanding of other realities because of that accumulated understanding.
Anatthaness more and more and more. It's the only way to let go of the idea of self. No other way at all. To be truthful too of what is there in the day, naturally.
Remembering I asked before, and
that bottle.
Yeah, so the concept of the bottle, you know, the colour, the hardness, you know, you could ask me again tomorrow and I will remember that concept or it comes to my mind. And is that from, what is that? What is that? Like, does it, so I feel like that is, it's hard to use these common words, but like it strengthens my attachment to, you know, what? Why am I remembering this bottle so well, but not another? I don't know. I'm trying to understand each reality and concept, and then now memory.
And the way to understand it, not just to try to understand it.
Well, just to give an example, why you remember that maybe and not something else. Mm. Some experiences come with strong feeling. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you're talking about this bottle right now and, you know, you're in a special situation, it comes with a certain intense feeling, I guess. And there's thinking about it with vitaka, so it means you may recall this tomorrow. Mm. Or if something happened on the way here, like an accident, you know, that comes with a lot of intense feeling. So a few days later you might remember it, whereas you might forget what you had for breakfast today in 2 days, you know, because the feeling was tamada.
And depends on the
accumulations, the interest. Mm. Right, different people some people might be interested in table mats and they'll notice everything about this table mat. You're not interested, you'll be interested in something else, you remember something else. So tomorrow you'll be thinking about the books in this room, whereas that person will be thinking about the mat in this room. So it depends on interest and, of course, accumulated attachment mostly. Mm. So, yeah.
That's why we learn what is there, just like what you said now. What is there?
Well,
is it hard to accept that the past is completely gone, that there's nothing from the past?
I can't say yes or no, but I feel like intellectually I can accept that the reality is now only, but I don't know if I really.
And what
understand.
About just understand? Mm. Never mind whether we accept it or not. Mm. Just understand.
I mean, the water that you drank, can it come back and fill this bottle?
No.
So it's same with all experiences. It's exactly like that. When it's risen and fallen away, it's not
finished.
Coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's finished.
And that's why memory, it feels like it sticks. And so that's where the understanding of, you know, these things arising and going, you know, constantly.
And because memory is there and there's mm-hmm. no understanding, that's why people keep thinking about the past and even have ideas about going back into mm. the past,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But because there's no understanding that the past is completely gone.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And we're listening to the truth just to have more confidence of the truth.
Mm.
We talk about it's gone, never to return, just to have more confidence. Otherwise, we keep on taking it for permanent, but in truth it's not, and it doesn't matter at all as long as it it's developing little by little to have firm confidence of the truth. And that is the point of listening to the truth. That's all.
So panya and confidence, both very important. Yeah.
Panya is right understanding, and confidence is the truth that we remember.
So even when you're listening to music and, you know, choosing to listen to music instead of reading or listening to Dharma, that understanding and accumulated confidence keeps you, bringing you back to, and you've come all the way to here to listen to Dharma.
And without confidence, how can reality appear as it is? That it's now arising and falling away by nimitta, to be known. Not only one single moment.
Well, that's always a good topic. The nimitta of the present moment, the nimitta of the candles. Yes. It's very
interesting. When we talk about one moment, it's not one moment as we think.
One moment's too brief.
In split seconds of split seconds.
I think this is one talking about seeing, and we know that seeing is either akusala vipaka or kusala vipaka. But actually, if seeing is known, it's the nimitta of seeing, and the nimitta of seeing's many, many,
processes
of seeing. So it's a lot of kusala vipaka, or it's a lot of akusala vipaka. Or talk about smell. Let's talk about smelling. Because that's a bit more obvious. If the experience is of a unpleasant smell, it's the result of akusala vipaka. But that we know, to actually smell something unpleasant, it's many, many, many processes that are, and so it's the nimitta of those processes, but it's still classified as the experience of akusala vipaka. Did I put that in the right way?
I think I know what you mean, because when it comes to seeing, you're now thinking about, even now it seems to be so many colors, definitely not all those colors are result of kusala. Right, there's so many colors, so not all those colors can be the result of just kusala kama, right? Yeah, and the reason you bring out smell is because usually we are just having one smell at a time. So if it's either pleasant or unpleasant, if it's unpleasant, then you can safely say that it's result of akusala.
Yeah. And it's still many, many processes, because it's still nimitta.
Yeah, but I'm wondering, like I said, we came to the conclusion that we need to listen more, whether even then what you're thinking is actually understanding, or we're just thinking in long stories about smell, because it's not one moment anyway. It's still like, it's the smell of that unpleasant smell. It's still a long story. Is it really understanding?
I didn't say it was understanding. I'm just saying this is the nature of the reality.
Right. But is that really the nature, reflecting the nature of the reality, or is just thinking?
Well, we know if there's definitely an unpleasant smell, that must be the result of akusala karma done in the past. Can we agree on that?
Which moment? Ajahn, right now... What Robert brought up was, he first gave the example of seeing and wondered whether the nimitta meant that suppose it seems that there is something unpleasant seen, it is the nimitta, that is, many, many moments of that pleasant objects being experienced. So he gave the example of, because when it comes to seeing, it seems a bit more difficult to pinpoint, because even now it seems like so many colors, so it cannot be the result of one karma that is seeing. And whereas when we talk about smell, when you say we smell something rotten, that seems to be able to only one smell being experienced. So we can safely say that that is the result of akusala karma, the rotten smell. And I'm questioning whether that thinking is understanding, because we are just making a general conclusion about what it might be. And we'd like to hear your point.
There are many levels of understanding. So what we are talking about now, not the direct understanding of anything yet.
But the correct intellectual understanding is still valuable.
It's Panya which tells no one else at all. That's why I learn to consider carefully about what is true. That's all.
But in the case of seeing, we usually are reminded that it's impossible to say which is Itha Ramana and Anitha Ramana, right?
Well, not always impossible, but usually we're not sure.
Usually.
We just talk about the truth. It doesn't mean that we have to experience directly about that when it's there.
So now the question is, when we smell something good, is it talking about the truth when we say that this is the result of good karma?
What about that which understands that as no one, instead of thinking about the story of it?
That is more important.
And that is the satalopa, see. If it's still there, can there be the understanding of the nature of smell as it is, or any reality?
And that understanding about no one is not a particular smell. It's just...
But still, the breaking down the details of the daily life, breaking it down in anitta, how do I pronounce it? Yeah, the
anitta,
yeah, those objects. It does help, like knowing the processes, the general process of Dhamma. It does help to break down the sense of self in an intellectual way. You know that there's. These processes happen without anyone being there. They're just processes that inevitably happen. So I think that's one of the ways that gradually the perception of anatta is developed.
And panya is the factor of the noble truth, noble path, leading to understand it more, little by little.
So Sukhinder, if we sort of say it's all about, yes, understanding anatta, but then people think, well, I'll just know everything's not self, and I won't study the pachyā, and I won't study the jātis, and I won't study all of these things, but these little details can help.
Of course it can help, but always come back to what appears now. Because there are people, as you know, as we've discussed before, who study all that without any understanding about anatta. Some people even have the idea of studying the Abhidhamma so that they can apply it in meditation, right?
Meditation.
And when there is no direct understanding of what is there now, it means that the intellectual understanding is not enough to condition the understanding of what is there directly.
So what will help the intellectual
understanding?
What will help the intellectual understanding?
Listen carefully.
Listen carefully, yeah.
To understand the truth. For example, no one, just this word.
Yeah.
No thing. See, yeah. Imagine when it appears as no one and nothing.
I was talking with Haji the other day, my son, that even to listen carefully is the function of panya, which hardly ever arises. To listen carefully.
But now it's developing slowly, little by little, unknowingly, very gradually, from moment to moment. Without this moment, how can there be more understanding?
Just talking about listening, and you know, sometimes we're interested to listen, sometimes not so interested, sometimes with Panya, sometimes without. Just as a general comment, I've been very impressed with John and Sarah and Nina over the last couple of years during the amount of, and Arjun, just unbelievable, of course, but just to see their continual, you know, they're always listening and talking about Dharma. It's just, you know, after a while, I can listen for an hour, and then I start to get a bit bored, but, you know, they're very fantastic.
I don't think that's the mark so much, because it depends on accumulations.
Yes.
What depends is the quality of listening, right, when there's listening. So it can be, it doesn't have to be the amount of time given to it, but when you hear, is there really understanding? That's when the...
That is the real mark, yeah.
Especially Sarah. She explains so beautifully that in every discussion that I hear her speaking, she explains everything so clearly and beautifully, so you can tell that there's real understanding there. Her understanding has increased tremendously over these past 3-4 whatever years.
But you remember, knowing whether the person has understanding or not.
Oh, of course. We have to have speculation. You know, if we say so-and-so has great understanding, that's we understand that that means we're speculating, because we can't know for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So Roxanne, how's the sanya thing? The memory, is it clear why there is memory of what happened yesterday or last year or when you were young?
Because right now there's memory and it's performing its function, and it's like this. It's like this now, it like this yesterday, like this, it'll happen like this in the future. It's the function of sanya to mark. And we hear also that sanya arises with all chittas. So any kind of chitta, there is sanya performing that function to mark. And perhaps this is your question. And once marked, why is it recalled again and again? Is it?
Right. Yes.
So, for example, my understanding, I'm not sure I will hear Achan, is that there are conditions for what we call recalling, because if suppose you are taken to prison and put in a dark room for 9 months, you probably have a hard time recalling anything, right? Your memory fades. So there are conditions. If you come to the same place, the same similar kind of conditions, you won't forget that this is a bottle, because you keep on experiencing that which we call a bottle again and again, and it never stops. But next life, once you're in a womb for so long, you don't remember anything about this life. That's because there's no experience. The experience is totally new, so no conditions to recall, to remember, and no particular colors to remember this, the past experience, and hence you are able to say, identify this as a bottle, because there's nothing to refer to in the past. Although it's never lost, and there are people who have the ability to recall past lives, but that's a special ability. But that also shows that the sanya which marks is never really lost. Whether you can recall it or not is just up to conditions.
Actually, that's interesting you bring that up, Arjun. Arjun, why is it that, because when there's a completely new rebirth, like Sukhinda was saying, why is there usually no memory of the life before? Is it such a intense, I don't know, experience that it just wipes, or what happened? Why is that?
What did you do yesterday?
Can't remember. Oh no, I was on a plane, that's right. I was flying from Kuwait. Yes, I do remember.
And what about last month and last year?
Yeah. But at least I can remember something sometimes.
Depending
but,
on interest.
Yes, yes.
Or how do you explain the fact that memory becomes more difficult when you get old age? Yeah.
And so when we talk about accumulations, what is that? I think,
that's a good question.
Yeah, so there's conditions, right? And you said when we're, you know, in the new life, there are no conditions or experiences, but we do have the accumulations from all past lives, right?
In other words, all of the past actions that have been taken in all, that have been done in all lifetimes, i.e., which citta and jetasikas have arisen at a particular moment, okay, particular nano moment. All that is, if you want to say stored, I don't know what other word to use.
Stored is not a good word.
No, it's not. But I don't know what other word to use because there's no place to store it. Mm-hmm. It's not a physical thing. It's mental. So mental doesn't require space to store anything. But I'm not sure what, you know, whatever, what other word I can use. But it's all kept there. So that it accumulates all this, all the actions. So when some people say, in a general way, doing gusala actions will then create conditions for further gusala actions, okay? Whereas doing agusala actions create conditions for doing further agusala actions, okay? So all that is stored. And there's no way to know at any given moment whether agusala, citta, and jetasika are going to arise or whether it's going to be gusala, citta, and jetasika that arise at that given nano moment. Okay? So it's so we can say that the tendencies of the accumulations also will come out in terms of tendencies of behaviors. So this person A tends to be a nasty, argumentative, whatever negative words you want to use, person. Whereas person B tends to be, because of accumulations, a very kind and generous and has made that government. He has the four.
And that's from accumulation.
Right, that depends on the sum of the past, all these accumulations of past actions and, you know, actions and thoughts and words from all past lives. So it's all dependent on, we have no idea what those are, but we can generally say this person generally tends to be, oh, this person generally tends to be good, or this person generally tends to be not nice. But it's very complicated because we're all a mixture, mostly akusala rather than gusala, okay?
Why are the accumulations? It's explained in the Patthana, which is in the Abhidhamma, how there's many conditions that carry on, so there's, they can carry on from this
you
moment
say
to next moment.
Conditions that carry on.
And that's like what I was trying to explain.
Maybe we should want to hear about accumulations, what it means.
Can the table accumulate anything?
A table?
No.
Why not?
There is no table.
It cannot experience anything. Mm-hmm. And at the moment of experiencing an object, what are they?
Hardness, color.
Hardness is the object. And at moment of experiencing an object, what are they? Not only citta.
What arises with citta?
What arises with citta?
Chitta seeker? Yes, citta
seeker. Memory?
Memory is one of them. Sanya is one of the citta seeker.
Ah,
okay.
Yeah. That's where
Sanya,
I've missed
memory,
something.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
But you see that what can be accumulated must be kusla or akusla. For example, in the day, how many moments of akusala and how many moments of kusala?
Did you say we can or we cannot?
Is there anyone, we, or all our realities, different ones?
Achan's question was that when we talk about accumulations, then we're referring to kusala and akusala,
yes.
not table.
No,
table definitely
no.
Doesn't accumulate. And so also with seeing, hearing, smell.
Vipaka, these are not accumulated.
No, they're not. Yes.
Only the kusala and the kusala.
Yes. And so we're. Yeah.
Now Jan is going to say that.
Okay. That's what I... Yes.
We like many, many things, but we cannot remember the object that we like. Mm-hmm. But there can be condition for liking to arise again. So actually, there are so many conditions, not just one condition. That's why there is one pajya, which is pakatupanisya pajya. Everything has its quality to be object of accumulation.
Can you clarify that again, Ajahn, a bit more?
For example, you have omelette, yes. See, but not the same at different times.
Yes.
And mark and remember is there to remember what's what and what is the object of liking. But can you tell the details of the difference between the two? Or you accumulate like for that particular one? Because there are so many different tastes for omelette,
yes.
See? But which one do you like? The Chinese way or the Thai way or what way?
I'm not sure, yeah.
The object of attachment is there.
Mm-mm.
And there is the moment of like such way of that accumulated.
Yes.
So you cannot remember the taste so well. But it's conditioned. And there is a condition to like such a way.
Just now, Ajahn, you referred to pakatupanisya
pachaya. So
that we have to start from one by one.
Hmm.
And now we start from a moment of experiencing the object that we like this way, see. So when it happens as it we like it again. The accumulation of such manners. Do you like durian?
I love durian.
What kind? See?
I mean, what you like is going to be different
from what someone else likes. Mm. So we can see that you'll choose the one you like. And that like will accumulate because that's how it was before and how it is now. Mm-hmm. And in the future, you'll choose the same one again.
So that's how our attachments are also strengthening.
All everything. Mm. And just now, Betty was talking in terms of the kusala accumulations, but it's the same with all realities. I mean, attachment, aversion, everything. So I was thinking when you asked a question, I was thinking about taking the example of, say, you like chocolate, right? So there's the liking for chocolate is there, and it accumulates, and each time you go want to have something sweet, you choose a particular chocolate. And for example, and it goes from life to life, actually. Next life, you'll not remember what is chocolate, but if once you taste it, you'd like it immediately because of that accumulation. So that's an example of accumulation.
And even the chocolate is the pakatupanisya pachaya too.
So even concept can be pakatupanisya pachaya. I mean, within chocolate there's taste, which is...
But it has to be the citta too, not just only the concept.
Okay,
like the way you speak. See?
Yes.
The manners.
Yes.
And the sound of the word and so on.
Yes. Could you break that
by
down?
By conditions. I speak my own way, very funny English.
No, very good.
And the other has his own way too, to speak different
manners.
And when we break it down, those are ultimate realities. It's not just concept.
Yeah.
Yes. So chocolate, in one sense, it's a concept, but also there's realities there, such as flavour and so on, that are actually real too. And then, but we have a overall concept
of chocolate.
Yes. Talking about, you know, sometimes I think it's quite clear that accumulations and so on carry on, because that's mental. It's not physical, but matter we know that metta also arises and falls away. So there's no matter, you know, no materiality from a minute ago. It's all gone. But how does, why does the table still look the same? You know, we know it's replaced. The kalapas, if you like, are replaced. How does that happen?
Memory.
No, yes. But in reality, how the kalapas keep appearing there. This table is composed of kalapas. The reality is just kalapas. And those kalapas are all arising and disappearing and then arising again.
All dhammas arising has to fall away.
Yes. What conditions the kalapas to arise again? Those when
by what?
By Kamma, temperature, right?
Chitta, utu, ahara.
Yeah, so this is utu only for the table, right? Yes. Just seems so simple that it's only utu that's needed
for the taste,
so
for the sound, yes. For
whatever. When considering Dhamma, our mistake is mix concept and reality. Mm. One moment we're thinking about reality, the next we're asking questions in terms of concept.
But if we think about it clearly, we come to more clarity about these matters. So sometimes thinking over these things is very important to understand it.
No, but once we know that visible object rises and falls away and it's always a new visible object, I mean, there's no question about that. But then we wonder about the visible object that we take for a table, right? That particular, why is it the same table? Then we are now talking about table, not the visible object.
But then we can talk about kalapas, which are very... then
sometimes even the kalapas is... thought in the same way that atoms are thought about, and that again is we're thinking about the table consisting being composed of kalapas, and that again is like going into the territory of concepts. But even kalapas, what are kalapas? Kalapas are the four Mahabhuta rupas and the four the one that depends and depending on what else.
But isn't that helpful to know?
Achan, when we talk about kalapas, how is it meant to be understood, kalapas?
Achan. When just one reality that we take for table or anything is broken down to just very tiny moment that cannot be broken anymore. That is kalapa. At least there must be it rupa together.
So what's more important to understand? That it's tiny or is it composed of eight rupas?
And how tiny eight rupa is? And just one?
Is that important to know how tiny it is?
Every truth can bring about the letting go, the idea of things and people and what it's taken for.
Could we say that the combination of the eight or whatever of the eight rupas in a kalapa will determine that the concept that we will see a concept of table?
Well, that is an important point. People wonder why is this bottle different from my eyeglasses? And the reason is, as you said, Betty, the intensity of the eight kalapas is different than...
The combination of them.
Not so much the combination, intensity, because there's always only eight...
The intensity as well.
Yeah, there's only eight kalapas. Both of these...
Only eight kalapas. Or eight rupas.
When we break it down,
right,
there's...
That. But the
each kalapa...
form in that kalapa will...
The intensity of the different Mahabhuta rupas.
Yeah, right. Will be a condition for the concept table.
The truth or the concept.
And in other words, the condition for those of us who are ignorant seeing this thing as a table.
No, the Achan is saying that you see as a table, as different tables, is because the realities are different.
That's right.
That's what's useful to know, yeah.
You mean that there are, because you're saying that, right, and at each nanosecond the table is actually different. The concept table is actually different. But we can't see the difference. The
realities are different.
Realities are different, that's right. Okay, so the table to the ordinary person appears the same, okay, from week to week. Or the tablecloth and the water and this and that.
Actually, if it's a table, then it has to be same, and that's what Robert was saying. Why is the table is still the same?
So the kalapas will be the same.
No, we're talking the table. We're talking about concept now.
Right.
So the concept is the table is a table. It's the same table. It's not a different table. But we know that the rupas, the visible
different
object
rupas,
is different.
Yeah.
Hardness is different. Okay. These are different every moment.
So actually, the concept appears to us the same.
Yes, but the actual ultimate realities, the kalapas, are
that's
different.
Yes, the ultimate reality.
But they're
is
very because they're very similar. Yeah. The ones that keep re-arising.
Right.
It looks like this table lasts. So that's one of the this continuity, if you like.
Yeah.
Deludes us like a magician's trick. So we think there's permanence.
But that's also. When, you know, because even at the concept level, we can see that certain things get older and they get worn away and they get... Okay, so that's different.
That's another point, actually, that we often hear. I mean, many Buddhists will say, oh, yes, I know things change. I know if I break my car has an accident, I understand that it was impermanent.
In terms of bad karma rather than...
Well, it's... So people can understand in a way that things change, but they don't think it's arising and passing away. They think it's the same car.
That's correct.
They're not talking about realities. They're talking about concepts. Right. They don't even know what realities are.
And this is why I think getting into kalapas and understanding that can be very helpful to break down the idea of permanence in a deeper way at the intellectual level. Really great discussion today so far. Yeah, I'm enjoying so much.
Sorry, I had to miss an hour.
It's accumulated. Accumulated.
Conditions.
Atan, it's not just one moment, it's one lifetime in samsara.
One of the things I notice as I'm getting older, it seems like life is going, slipping away faster than I realized.
Exactly.
And this is Parami. Mm. Without Parami, it's impossible to experience the truth. Mm. Absolute truth. Just one part of samsara.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So